Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
It's Monday, and on The Takeaway, that means we talk about family today. And today we're talking about a controversial and relatively ugly subject, child sexual abuse. There's conservative estimates out there that say 1 in 5 women and 1 in 10 men in America has been sexually abused as a child, usually by a trusted family member or a family friend. It's also estimated that 95% of victims never seek treatment or report the crime. That's why those estimates are conservative. Dr. Susan Clancy believes there's a way to get more victims to seek help, and that's by changing the way we talk about abuse. She's written a new book called The Trauma Myth, and she joins us from our studios in Boston. We're also joined by Dr. Marilyn Coitra, a professor of psychiatry at NYU, also author of Treating Survivors of Childhood Abuse. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Susan,
good morning.
Two things you established pretty immediately in your book. One, sexual abuse of children is distressingly common, and two, it always damages the victim. But where you break away from established psychological tradition is in the cause of the psychological damage. Explain.
That's correct. First of all, I want to make clear, I didn't say it always damages the victims. I said that it is a risk factor for all sorts of adult psychological problems. So in most cases, it's damaging, but not always. There are some victims that emerge relatively unscathed. But the main point I was trying to make is that what I think, or what the research seems to suggest, is damaging many of these victims is not the actual event itself, but it is the meaning of the event for these people later on in life. What's damaging is what's happening in the aftermath, how they come to understand themselves and other people around them.
In other words, Marilyn Coitra, she's saying that it's not necessarily the trauma of the event, that for some of these victims, the event itself was not either violent or traumatic, but dealing with it later. What do you think about this theory?
Well, I agree that there are long-term negative effects for people who have experienced sexual abuse, and I think that's something we've just got to lay out right there for our audience, for every survivor out there. I think the issue of debate is what should we call this experience, and I am on the side that we should call it a trauma. Even by the most narrow definition of the word trauma in our formal diagnostic system, in the case of sexual abuse, what it really is a threat to the physical integrity of the person, independent of their reaction, right? And this definition helps survivors know what's happened to them, right? Childhood sexual abuse is an experience when an adult takes ownership of the child's body for purposes of their own. And I think we need a definition for survivors to understand what's happened to them, just the way we understand that it's a crime. It's a crime in 50 states. It's also psychologically a trauma to the person.
Susan, your book is based on interviews that you did with victims themselves who described sexual abuse that at the time that it occurred was not, as you say, traumatic.
Right. And I just want to address what Dr. Coitra is saying. I completely understand the importance of calling this event a trauma from sort of the adult perspective. But the problem is that because of our positioning the event as trauma, but not clarifying details of the event, you end up with a lot of people out there who never report the sexual abuse to anyone and who themselves don't necessarily feel like they were victims because their understanding of the event was when it happened, it was not traumatic. So that's the danger of using a word like trauma. I think we end up overlooking and minimizing the experiences of a lot of people out there who were damaged by what happened, but they're damaged because when it happened, they didn't really understand what was going on and they trusted the perpetrator and they allowed the abuse to happen. And for that, they're paying a price of guilt and shame and isolation as adults.
Dr. Coitra, you're shaking your head.
Well, I think we have to understand the difference between a reaction to an event, which really varies among trauma survivors, right? They can feel shame, guilt, confusion, fear, and the event itself, right? And
right.
It's really the event itself, I think, that we should focus on and define. And kids may not understand what's happening to them, and I think they don't. And adults who've had this experience also don't understand what's been happening to them. And we need to help, as psychologists, to educate people by giving it a name.
But is part of the takeaway here that there's a separate trauma associated with bringing the perpetrator to justice that might have an impact on the child in this particular case?
Yeah, I think that's part of the idea of trauma, right? Because it is a transgression of a person's basic ownership of their body, right? And once that's understood, right, when we have names for things for kids as well as for adults, we can be unified in an understanding.
But Susan Clancy, your proposition is that if we do not, if we broaden the definition of it to include those who experienced sexual abuse, but for whom it was not violent, that it may encourage them to come forward.
What I'm just trying to say is I understand what Dr. Cloytra means, but I'm just saying that the repercussions of this type of positioning is that you have most of the population of sexual abuse victims who aren't reporting their crimes, and most of them saying that they feel guilty and ashamed. And I don't think that the trauma conceptualization is helping them cope with this guilt and shame because it's kind of overlooking their own experiences.
Dr. Cloytra, I mean, how do we come away with 95% of people not reporting it? Is it possible that for some of them it's because it's not traumatic? They don't see the event itself as traumatic?
Right. I think we basically have to distinguish the reaction to the event versus the event. And people can have a wide range of reactions, including feeling okay about it. But that doesn't mean that it was okay. And I think if we label the event a trauma, that's a sort of core definition that people later on can say, oh, something bad did happen to me. If we label a robbery, say, of a woman who's been stolen from, she might like the person, she may not know that it's going on, but years later saying,
right,
that was a robbery.
That's Dr. Marilyn Cloytra. It's an interesting discussion. Cloytra is a professor of psychiatry at NYU, and Dr. Susan Clancy's book is called The Trauma Myth, The Truth About Sexual Abuse of Children and Its Aftermath.
If you want to weigh in on this subject, you can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Welcome to our new listeners here in New York on the AM signal, AM 820. I'm John Huckenberry.
And I'm Celeste Headlee. This is The Takeaway.